welcome back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to SOS.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we just clench your teeth and say stuff, and it sounds really important.
This is SOS, and this is our podcast, and I hope you're enjoying yourself. If not, I don't care. Just keep listening, because it matters to us in the long scheme of things.
Yeah, keep relieving those reviews.
This year sucks. And all right, I'm done. Speaking of the year.
Yeah. So today is a really interesting topic. We have one of our best friends on who is a brand new mom. Well, she gave birth January 8th of 2020. And as we all know, only a few short months, the world would go to hell. And so we wanted to talk to her about that experience. In the context of COVID, obviously, pandemic, also in the context of going through a complete humanitarian and political crisis within our country right now, what that looks like when you are already considering being a parent, conversations you're going to have with your child, just a lot. We had a lot of questions. So our guest is Melanie Reif, and I can't wait to get into this with her, to learn, to hear her story.
She's an actor. She's been in things like Bold and the Beautiful. And, she was in All Rise. And fun fact, she was pregnant while filming that. So if you like that show, I think she was a corrections officer in it.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
And Dollface.
Yes. She was in Dollface. Margot Robbie?
Yeah,
is that
right?
Margot Robbie? I'm sorry,
no,
Mel.
I did not see Dollface. I think it is. Okay, whatever. Look it up. Look it up and find out.
Yeah, exactly. Look it up. Who do you think we are, professional podcasters? Anywho. So,
yeah. Oh, Instagram. You can follow.
She made me do it 14.
Yes. She made me do it 14.
That's her Instagram.
So without further ado, please welcome Melanie Reif. Welcome, Melanie. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Yay, thank you. I'm so happy that you're here and that we can see your face again. And we miss you very much.
I know. I miss you guys, too.
I'm very curious because I actually haven't asked you about these things in this context. But so you gave birth in January. January 8th. Okay. So basically like a little over 2 months before LA went into lockdown.
Right.
And exactly. I'm very curious. And like in January, we didn't see it coming. Like we still didn't see it coming. We had no idea that this was going to be what it is. And so I'm curious, like as a new mother, like mentally and emotionally, you're only like 10 weeks out of giving birth, where you were mentally and emotionally as a new mom, right as COVID is hitting.
Well, you know, what's funny is that Romeo, which is, so my daughter's Ryan Elizabeth.
Yes.
And Romeo is her father. Mm-hmm. And Romeo was sick when I was giving birth. He was very, very sick. And he fought through it. And we're thinking back and we're thinking he might have had COVID.
Really?
Yeah. But he didn't say anything because we didn't want him kicked out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What were his symptoms?
I don't remember. But I just, when we think about it, like when I ask him, he's like, I think that's what I had. Because it was like death. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sucked it up and dealt with it. I mean, it might not have been, but... You know, it existed, you know, COVID definitely existed at this time. So it's like, we just didn't necessarily know, you know, he could have had it, but, I was very fortunate because at this point she's 3 months old and, I feel like I kind of got past the initial newborn stage, you know what I mean? Now she's an infant. And we are kind of figuring out, I'm kind of figuring out being a mom.
Like a routine.
And she's met the people she needed to meet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not all of them, but she's met my mother who lives in Chicago, who's 83 years old. She was able to come out there, see her at 3 weeks, spend 3 weeks with us. So I kind of was in a perfect situation because I know people who had a baby during, you know, when COVID hit and they couldn't have visitors. Like the hospital was on lockdown, you know, I just kind of just missed that. And I was very fortunate. And then being in quarantine, it's like almost like I was very lucky. It was very lucky for me because at 3 months, I feel like, you know, we push moms back into the workforce and you have to leave your baby and you have to pump and you have to figure out pumping and, you know, making sure your baby has enough milk while you're gone. And you have to figure out what to wear because you don't fit in any of your maternity clothes anymore.
Right.
You don't fit in your old clothes. You're kind of somewhere in between, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't have to worry about any of that. I could feed her at 3 o'clock in the morning and it didn't disturb my sleep because I didn't have anything to do the next day.
So what you're saying really is you recommend quarantine for all new mothers.
I mean, I would say the best thing to have during quarantine is a baby.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like forced bonding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he didn't, you know, Romeo didn't have to go back to work because he worked at a restaurant. Restaurants are closed down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she gets her father and her mother 24/7.
Yeah.
And I don't miss a single thing.
Right. You know? You guys get to bond.
That is beautiful.
With her, which is already, I know that like, especially sometimes, this is obviously not everybody, but sometimes for the father, it is hard at first to bond because you didn't carry this. Pregnancy is like an abstract thing, and then the baby arrives. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the mother, you're carrying this child. It's your body and it's changing and you're feeling the changes and you feel very much. I'm not speaking from experience, obviously, but like friends and people, it's just like it's in your body. You're adjusting to it, growing and being a mother. And from the father's perspective, you see, you know, the mom growing and changing and you know it's coming. But I would imagine sometimes it's very much like, oh shit, like there wasn't a baby yesterday and today there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of fathers, it's common at least for them to have a hard time at first bonding because the baby doesn't speak. They don't, if they're at work too, and their daily life doesn't look much different until they get home. And then there's this new being there. So I'd imagine it's probably great from Romeo's perspective too, because he gets to just like everything you're seeing and you're not missing anything and he doesn't have to either.
Right. And it's great for me because I'm not, I can, you know,
you get
here you
help.
Go, Romeo. You're here 24/7. You can take care of her too. You know, so we can kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
Because what he does is I sleep, but she wakes up at 5:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning, you know, and she's up. She's wide awake staring at me, you know, like, hello. And she'll start goo-gooing and gaga-ing and making all types of noise. I mean, just, you know, you have no choice but to get up and you have to get up. And then I feed her and then I'm kind of up. And then Romeo will eventually get up. He'll take her. He'll leave. And I can sleep for like another 2 hours, which is just awesome, you know.
That's really nice. Well, and actually one of the things I'm really fascinated with, because nobody ever talks about this. People talk about, you know, the birth and then being a new mom, having a new baby. People talk about postpartum, but like nobody talks about physically, like you literally just had all this space made in your body for this baby and the baby's gone. And when you mentioned quarantine, like it was kind of a blessing too, because you don't have to, you're not having the society and the world force you back into the box of normal life 3 months later, where you're able to, you mentioned like even the clothes, you're in this mid range of like, I'm not pregnant, but I gave birth like a couple months ago. Like I'm somewhere in the middle, but like even physically,
unless you want everything to be ridiculously tight on you, you know?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Was that like a, I don't know, I guess quarantine, you can't speak to the other, you haven't had a baby without these circumstances. So, I'm just interested in the fact of like knowing that you didn't have to go back out and be social or go back to work or do those things. And you weren't even expected to be outside. Were you able to be kinder to yourself in those moments where you're not feeling great physically after a birth?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I also feel like you don't feel like you're missing out on anything, you know, because I'm an actress, mm-hmm. and you know, one of the things is when you're pregnant, you have a baby, you're kind of like out. You don't get auditions. You don't, you know. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but quarantine made everything kind of stop. Yep. So I don't have that. I'm missing out on anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Missing out on going out with friends and drinking because that's right. not happening, or yeah. it shouldn't be happening.
You know? Right.
not missing auditions. You know, and I can feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know.
This
and,
is,
and heal and just really heal properly and yeah. take care of myself, you know?
It's really interesting because honestly, I don't know if you felt the same, Melissa, but when we first were like, oh my God, we need to have Melanie on because this whole experience being a new mom is like, and a first time mom is like crazy enough with in regular, what was regular life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even like think about it from these angles. Because I was like, oh my God, it has to be just that much harder because of the pandemic. Right. And you don't have, and I'm sure, like you said, if you gave birth during it, it'd be a whole different story. Like you had your support system at the beginning around you. But it's kind of funny because I'm like, as you're saying this, I'm like, wait, this is like hitting the jackpot in terms of like, you're the timing. Yeah,
it's not so much negative. It's a very positive experience. But
yeah.
I mean, there was, of course, there's negative parts about it. Like my father, he lives in Chicago mm-hmm. and he hasn't met her and I don't know when he's going to meet her,
yeah. you
know, cause it might be when she's over a year old, might be 2 years. We just don't know,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And you know, you want the world to see your baby and you want your baby mm-hmm. to see the world and it can't happen right now. You know,
yeah.
I want to take her to the zoo. Zoo's not happening.
Yeah.
I want to give her swim lessons at the Y. Can't do it. You know?
Right.
So, there are negative parts about it, you know?
It's actually, what do they say about, like, because, you know, at a certain age, I know zero about babies, so that's what I'm asking you. But I know there's, like, recommendations for when they should start to be, quote unquote, socialized, like, around mm-hmm. other babies, or I don't know at what month that is recommended to happen, but I know that's, like, a really important part of their development. Obviously, even before they can speak or are even really moving around, it's just being around other infants and other people. I know that that's important. Is that right. something that like she's 6 months now? Over.
She's 6 months.
A little
yeah,
over
she's
six months
now.
Yeah. So it's like, is that something that normally you would be involving her in right now that she, do you wonder about the developmental side of no social interaction yet?
You know, I hate to say it, but I have had a little social interaction
yeah.
With other mothers who have babies.
Oh,
I hate to say it, but I kind of trust them the most.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they want the mm-hmm. best for their baby too.
Yeah.
You know? So like, I just went to the gardens with another girl mm-hmm. who has a 3-month-old.
Oh,
and to wow. be honest, they don't even pay. They didn't pay any attention to each other.
Yeah,
barely right. noticed each other. You know.
Yeah, but did you do it for that reason?
She has had some interaction with people. Mm-hmm. You know, but in the very beginning, it was. Very scary, you know,
yeah. and
we didn't know, like, we didn't know if infants were high risk.
Right.
And, right.
And when we found out about the first baby that died,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
that I got really scared, you know?
Yeah.
And now we kind of know that they're not really high risk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's eased that, but
yeah. yeah.
Does your yeah. friend that or maybe not this one, but another one that you've talking to that had a baby recently, have they had another one that they like are comparing, contrasting the experiences of like pre-quarantine life with a baby and quarantine life with a baby?
No,
and like
she's a brand new mom too.
Okay. Cause I'm wondering yeah. too, of like the differences if you're talking to, cause Ryan's your first, like if you're talking to somebody who have had children in the past and you're like, you know, realizing like how much, like how grateful you are that you have mm-hmm. all this time because prior you didn't. Like, do you ever
right.
talk to other moms or maybe have family members that have and like kind of be like, wow, you have it easy right now? Do you get a lot of that?
No. I think people feel kind of like how Molly felt. Like you would think yeah. it would be maybe a negative,
mm-hmm.
you know, a scary experience and then... But it really isn't. It's
yeah.
really a nice, wonderful
right.
thing so, that's happened, you know?
So should I get pregnant? Maybe I'll just get pregnant.
So you're saying, wait, I do have a question in regards to, like, and it's multi-layered, but so before, when you know you're having a baby, and even before, like, a lot of people think about things like, oh my God, if I were bringing up a kid in today's world, like, I would do it this way, or I wouldn't do it this way, or I'd be afraid of this. And so I'm sure, of course, when you are pregnant and you have a baby, you're already thinking certain things, like, but after everything that's happened since George Floyd and, like, the massive, because aside from COVID, this is just, like, on many levels, mm-hmm. our country is just in upheaval, and socially, and, like, and it, obviously it's all centered around race, and you have a mixed race baby. It's not like you didn't ever think about this before, of course. So I'm, like, curious where, if your perspective or the way you think about raising her in this world has changed from even how you imagined it in January, like how you already were, you already know you're bringing a mixed race baby into the world. So you've already thought about all these things, but like, right. has the recent months, has it affected the way you prepare for that in any way mentally?
Well, you know, being mixed myself, I knew that no matter what, I was going to have a mixed race baby. Right.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, we now know that the world is more dangerous than we had known it, right? Yeah. Because of the COVID, because of the rioting and the looting and, like, everything that's going on. There's just so much going on. I wouldn't say it necessarily changed the way that I was going to mother, but I definitely want to bring a peace. You know, with all that's going on out there, there's an innocence in my home, you know what I mean? Mm. And I want to keep it that way. I want it to still be peaceful. Like, she has no knowledge of any of this. She will, because, yeah. you know, I take month to month pictures of her.
I know. Yeah. I love this.
And at her 3 month picture, I put a roll of toilet paper and a Lysol can. And then at her 5 month picture, I have her holding a little sign saying Black Lives Matter.
It's like documenting.
And so I'm excited. I'm hoping she's going to love that. And she's going to look back and be like, yes, mom. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
this is what was happening when I was young, you know, but yeah. I don't know if it necessarily, I'm kind of excited by what has happened. You know, mm-hmm. of course the George Floyd situation was a terrible, you know, situation. And they say, you know, when he called out to his mother, all mothers were summoned.
Ugh,
and
yeah.
I for real feel that, because if anybody were to hurt Ryan I'm going to jail, like,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. no lie. Mm-hmm. But I love what is coming from it. I love that, you know, people are becoming more aware, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of negative stuff that's coming up also, mm-hmm. but I really think that we're making some changes
yeah.
in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be a better world for her. You know, her history is going to, the history she learns about is going to be different than the history
yeah.
I learned. You know, back
thank
when I was
Lord.
Young, Christopher Columbus was great. We love Christopher
yep,
Columbus.
Yep.
We had the day off of school, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, I don't think she's going to be learning that, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Even down to, like, there's a picture I saw the other day. It was history books that I'm sure all of us grew up with, because it was a specific one that was used for, like, a number of decades. And it was like, this is what, if you're this age to this age, you read this book in school. And there's the unit on Egypt is a white man with blue eyes with wearing the pharaoh
yeah,
headpiece.
Wow.
Like, that is the actual image in the history book about Egypt. And it's like,
ooh.
And so, yeah, I mean, those are the things that I'm like, honestly, something really, really big and terrible needed to happen to shake people awake, because that was something that deeply has bothered me and a lot of people, obviously all of us, for like a really long time. And that's like a fear of when it comes to having a child, especially a child who's not white, who's mm-hmm. not going to see themselves, not only not going to see themselves, but going to see lies told about what white people did or didn't do and what they're like. People that look like them did or didn't do. And that's like, you're right though, that the optimism and like, that was already fearful. That was fearful before George Floyd happened. That was like something to be scared of, your child growing up with false history again and again and again and again. And I guess this is the most light we've seen in that tunnel in our
yeah.
lifetimes. It's a weird double-edged sword because it makes me, it exposes a part of society that we already knew was there, but when it's really above the surface and it's scary, but it's also like, how else are we supposed to face it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like when you're cleaning a pot, that water's going to get real dirty and nasty.
Yeah.
But at the end, that pot's nice and clean, you know?
Yeah.
I just, it's funny because I think back, like my mom, she has such a problem with the fact that they're changing the name from Aunt Jemima.
Okay, and your mom is white and your dad is black.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And she hates that, you know? She's so upset about it. And I'm like, Mom, it's the same syrup, you know? I'm like, and what I had to tell her is that it's not your world anymore. It's not even my world anymore. It's Ryan's, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's who's out there protesting mainly is the youth.
Exactly.
And they're ready for a change, you know? And they deserve that, you know? Especially older people don't want to change. Change is uncomfortable, you know? Mm-hmm. And these conversations are uncomfortable, but they're necessary, you know? And I just, when I was younger, I remember learning about Europe for 8-9 months.
Yep.
And then learning about Africa for 1 week.
Yep.
And I knew it at the time that it was that didn't make sense. But it's like we just kind of accept it.
That's what it was.
You know?
Not to mention how small geographically Europe is compared to, it's like makes no sense. On any level it makes no sense.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I like the fact that I don't think that's going to be the case anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Even when I was, you know, I remember in sixth grade, I was filling out a Scantron and it said, what race are you? Mm-hmm. And it said, choose one. And there was like maybe five options. And, you know, there was no option for me because there was white, Asian, you know? And I raised my hand and I said, you know, I have to choose more than one here. And he goes, no, you can only choose one. Very nasty. And I said, you know, I'm so proud of the 12-year-old me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know what? Asian. Fuck you. You know, like, fuck your, like, whole thing, like, you know?
Yeah. If you're not going to take me seriously, I'm not going to take this seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that already we've kind of moved past that. There's biracial. There's other. There's, you know, so it's like, I think we're headed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's like.
So like you said, it's this bad thing had to happen.
Yeah.
But all this, I think, great, you know, stuff is.
It's like.
All this progress.
Society. I wish I remember who said this. I was reading it like last week, but. Civil rights leader, and I can't remember who, but anyway, the whole thing was that it's a society as a whole trends in the positive, like the overarching arc of like history is like, you know, there's dips and there's terrible times, but like the trend is positive. And so when you're saying that with like, okay, well, Ryan's world is going to look different. It's like we have to remember that's a good outlook to maintain because it's like even though right now it's really ugly, 2020 is like the acceleration pedal on these things. And
exactly. There's
a jerk when the car starts moving that fast, but it has to move faster if it's going to get there. And I saw on tell me what your thoughts are on this. Like because I saw on somebody I follow on Instagram, she has a 3-year-old or 4-year-old and she... And she's white, and she was starting the conversation about discrimination. I don't know if she specifically brought race up, but she was using her toy animals to explain discrimination to a 4-year-old. And it's a thing where, like, and it was on video, like, a lot of it. And you see this girl, like, because she had toy zoo animals, and then there was a fence, and she's like, okay, all the cats are over here, and they're not letting anybody else into their fence unless you're a cat. But these other animals are over here, and if the cats want to go hang out with them, those animals say, okay, you can come in, but the cats don't let anybody in. And this girl's, like, digesting it, and she's 4 years old, and she's like, that's not very nice, and, like, if I were a cat, I would let people in. I would just, like, you know, it's like a kid... And then she's saying the word discrimination. She's like understanding what it means, if it's right or wrong. It was just disturbing her because the mom said, she's like, when we first started talking about this and explaining to her what we need to talk about, this is important. And we told her about how bad it is. She started to realize how bad it is. She said, I don't want to talk about this. This makes me sad. And they were like, it is sad. And it's good that you realize that it's sad. And she's like, we had this conversation with her. And as a parent, my goal is to, it's not like, oh, good, we had this talk and now we move on. She's like, this is a conversation mm-hmm. I want to continue with her because we don't give children enough credit for what they're able to absorb and understand. This is a 4-year-old understanding the concept of discrimination. And if I can keep this conversation going every week, and it's like starting that young. And what are your thoughts on, like, now that you have a little girl and, like, do you imagine even, do you go into detail in your mind about those conversations yet?
I mean, I think those conversations are fantastic. You know, believe it or not, I'm actually working on a book. I wrote a children's book like literally 15 years ago, and it was kind of dedicated to biracial children. Mm-hmm. But it's the way you read it, it could be for anybody. Mm-hmm. But it's just basically comparing two different things and how when you take two different things and put them together, you can create this like wonderful new thing, you know?
That's beautiful.
I love that. So
I think it's great. You know, I don't think it's ever too early. I mean, right. I've had talks with Ryan now. She don't know what I'm talking about, but I don't think it's ever too early. And I want to see that. You should show it to me, that video.
Yeah.
But I've seen videos similar to that where they did that in a classroom and mm-hmm. it was like blue eyes and brown eyes.
Yes.
The
genetic.
Brown eyes were treated really bad.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think mm-hmm. And I think she's right. You do need to keep that up. And you know, Romeo has a 7-year-old from a previous relationship. Mm-hmm. And we tried to sit down and have a discussion. It was difficult, but
difficult in the sense that he didn't understand it or he didn't want to have the conversation?
Yeah, more so like we don't really have his attention.
Yeah. Because that's what it was like.
We'll try again, you know?
Yeah. I think we really, really take for granted what children, not just like we think of like, oh, well, they're school age, now they can learn. It's like, man, they're learning an entire language in like a year. Like, you know, it's just like they absorb so much and their emotional capacity is so large. And mm-hmm. I don't think that we as a society give them credit for that. It's kind of what she was saying. Like, this is a 4-year-old and she's not like spewing words that I told her. She's understanding a concept. And that's like crazy. Yeah. But it's not crazy. It's like so important. I don't know. I feel like I can imagine like all the things in your head before you have a child. And then now that society looks the way it does, if you're just like, oh my God, so many things to like talk about.
And with like what society, I mean, like what's happening right now, whether it's, you know, with the protests and, you know, fighting for racial equality and COVID, like how have you dealt with your own anxieties as a mother and a woman of color during this time? And like how have you dealt with it and what advice would you give to moms that are about to give birth and are feeling the anxieties, and moms of color too that are just like really nervous about the world that maybe don't necessarily see the light at the end of the tunnel yet because of everything that's going on?
I think that, like I said before, I think that you need to continue to have that peace in your home, that, you know, that stillness, that calmness in your home. The innocence is a beautiful thing. Have the conversations, you know, when you can have them. And like I said, I'm having the conversations with my 6-month-old.
Right.
She clearly doesn't know what I'm talking about, but she's getting something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sure. She's getting something out of it. I know it's a really scary time. My baby, she's half Salvadorian, mm-hmm. and she's a quarter German and a quarter Black. Mm-hmm. She's very light, very light skinned. But yeah, it's if I were to have a Black son, I'd be fearful.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't know. I would say that, like I said, keep the communication open, mm-hmm. you know, make sure that you're having those conversations, but also try to keep the peace within your home, you know,
mm-hmm.
and keep the positivity up, you know, try to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know,
right.
Eventually this COVID will stop, you know, at some point we'll get to a place where we'll, you know, it'll mellow out.
Yeah.
Even with the rioting and the looting, that's died down. Yeah. You know, we're having beautiful, peaceful protests. We're making some moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see it in a positive light, you know.
It's interesting. Try to,
and keep fighting. Keep fighting the fight. Keep having the conversations.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some uncomfortable conversations with some of my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as a human race, I feel like, unfortunately, people don't care about things that don't directly affect them.
Yep.
I mean, we see that obviously with COVID.
Yeah,
like people are like, I don't know anyone who has COVID, so I don't care. I'm not going to wear a mask. You
right,
know?
Right.
But it's the same thing, like with, you know, white culture telling, you know, black culture about black experience. Like,
right.
You can't do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
You have to. But I love that there's so many people for this movement,
mm-hmm.
and many of them aren't black,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I see us moving in a good direction,
mm-hmm.
you know? I see people caring.
Yeah.
Who, you know, when as a whole, we don't typically care about things that don't directly affect us.
Or don't, you know, resemble us. Like, it's hard for people to find empathy for someone that doesn't look like them. And that sounds so stupid and basic, but it's like so real. Why do you think we put a face to even like God? Like, oh, Jesus is a white man with long hair? Sorry, but he's not from Europe. Like, he doesn't look like that. If he did, you know, but it's like,
right. Yeah, will you not care about Jesus if he was a dark-skinned man?
People need to like
with
see some themselves in something in order to care about it.
Santa
and
Claus.
I just hope that we can get humanity can get from thinking that what you have to see in someone else to recognize yourself is physical.
Right.
Because that's, you won't see that in a lot of people. But if you're looking for a trait and something about humanity, you'll recognize yourself in other people if you look at people that way. But yeah, that's interesting what you're saying. Like, I don't know. Have you had, you yourself during this time, like had any anxieties, whether related to motherhood or not, but just like family, because you're a new mother, family is highlighted and you're having difficult conversations with your own family. Like, has it been a high anxiety time for you, or has this been able to bring that peace to you, having a child?
Yeah, it's definitely brought me peace, you know? It's definitely brought me peace because she's just so innocent and has just, you know, nothing to do with any of this stuff, has no idea all this is happening.
Yeah.
And so I have these weird, you know, difficult conversations. I mean, on Facebook, I went into a rabbit hole with some woman I didn't even know.
Yes.
And I had to like be like, no, I gotta pull myself out, because you will get into it with people you don't even know. And I'm like, why am I she's taking my energy. She's taking all my, she's getting me frustrated and taking the peace out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I had to stop. I had to get off of Facebook, and you just look at her and her little smile and her, you know.
Yeah.
And you're kind of back. So yeah, she's been a blessing, because
mm-hmm.
she's kind of taken me away from that a little bit.
Right.
You know?
It's like a little escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being with her.
It's funny because it's like an escape, but it's also the only truest thing that there is. While it's also an escape from reality, it is the realest thing that exists too.
Right.
Well, I'm curious about too, is like what's going on. This is like more just COVID or pandemic related, but like right now there's so many like fights and debates about whether or not to open schools again. And I know Ryan's obviously too young, but like if Ryan was older, like how would you feel about being comfortable enough to bring your child in this time to a school that might not be protected, but you might not have the time to homeschool at the same time.
Right.
Like,
I mean, we already have an issue because Malachi is the 7-year-old.
Right, 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 right.
You know, so his mom is a nurse and she has to work.
No.
And somebody's got to watch this child, you know? And when this first happened, I was scared. I was nervous because we really didn't know much about it. And I knew that children can carry it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want him, you know, because he's out doing his thing, touching on everything, you know, as kids do.
Yeah.
And they don't really know how serious it is, you know.
No.
Yeah, maybe they have a mask, but, you know. So I was very nervous having him here. And I understand it. Like, I tried to do homework with him, and it was literally probably one of the worst experiences.
That's what every parent is just like, this is hell. Like, homeschooling and homework and everything.
Yes. I mean, first of all, the stuff that they send for him to do, it blows my mind. Who has time to do
all this?
So much stuff. Seven.
And that's, and he has loads of work like that?
You're supposed to do a sundial. Like, even just reading the instructions for it was too much, you know? And then you're trying to tell him to do this stuff when he has this Nintendo Switch over here.
Yeah. Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was so difficult. And there'd be like seven subjects. You'd maybe get one done. It was so difficult. So I understand.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please take these children, you know, because who's watching them?
Right.
You have to go back to work. Who's going to watch them?
Right.
You know? But at the same time, these kids will touch each other.
Yep.
You think they won't lick each other and touch and make a joke of this, you know, and cough on each other. And I mean, it's, I would definitely say, I think that it's too soon.
Yeah.
I lean more towards that. I get both sides. I understand, but I do think it's too soon. And I think that it's wrong to put the teachers in danger.
Yeah.
Too, you know,
teachers have already died. A principal, like they're already like front lines of this. It's educators and nurses and
like a lot of kids go home to a household that is a multi-generational household, and they might have their grandparents, vulnerable populations that they live with, that they're interacting with. Yeah. It is so, I mean, cause saying like, oh, I think it's too soon. It's not like you're saying it's easy to find childcare or to figure out what comes next. But
I don't even have the answer to that. I don't know how we could even solve that. Cause I think about people who have multiple kids.
Yep.
Right.
You know, I had one kid that I had to do homework with, and I couldn't handle it. You know, imagine I had three kids,
right.
You know, different ages. I got to do different homework.
Or
different
you're
kids.
A single parent or
I have one computer, like, and they're supposed to do stuff on the computer. Like, I get it. You know, it's crazy hard. And I wish there was an answer. I wish it was an easy decision.
Because there's so many factors. It's like the financial aspect. It's the emotional toll it takes on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like also, you know, and we could talk about this too. And this is pretty broad, but like what it's going to be like after this is over, like the toll it's going to take on all of us mentally and emotionally. Like, have you thought about that? I mean, this is like what it's going to be like to also, you know, be with Ryan in public again and like feel comfortable and
yeah.
Do you think you're going to have these anxieties that will like be everlasting, not everlasting, but will last a bit?
I know. It's such a big question. I just have no idea, because right now it's like, are we ever going to shake hands again? Are we going
to... Or go to a club or...
I mean, some people are definitely clubbing. I have family members that live in Arizona.
Yep.
That are clubbing.
Right.
And they're young.
Dumb shit.
But
LA is... I don't know when that's going to happen. Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah, but I definitely... It's this big question mark, you know. I wonder how long are we going to have to wear these masks and how much this changes everything, you know. It's scary even about, you know, jobs, restaurant jobs.
Yeah.
You know, you think about restaurant jobs, it's like, are people ever going to make money working in a restaurant again?
Well, that's like how we would make money, you know. We're artists, service industry workers, and that those industries are hit the hardest,
right?
But it's weird too. It's sad. It's because entertainment, there's so much money taken out of like funding for entertainment right now. I'm messing up the specifics on how
funding
the money's being allocated,
but essentially
there's not a lot of relief for people working in the entertainment industry, which is sad, because what do you think is getting people through the quarantine right now. It's binging TV shows, it's podcasting, it's music, it's all this stuff. And yet, so it's like, who knows what's going to happen? And with that question of like, what the future is going to look like and all the question marks, like, and maybe you can really point this question to me, because I, you know, have been thinking about, when am I going to be ready to have a kid myself? And I am so discouraged right now because of the state of everything.
I know, but don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I mean, I'm like,
I know, but
I'm like, no, it's the best thing. It really is. And I understand, like, the world around you is so scary, but like, we just don't know. We just don't know when things are going to change and when things are going to get better. And like, you're going to protect your child. Right, trust me. Right. Like, that becomes your life. Like, you think you care about you? That's gone. You know what I mean? Caring about you is gone. Like, you care about you somewhat.
Maybe I'm afraid to not be selfish anymore. That's also a thing. What is it going to be like when I'm at the center of my world?
When all you post on Facebook and Instagram is your baby, and everybody's like, okay, we get it. She's 4 months. Jeez. You know, like, don't post up any pictures of yourself anymore. It's like,
right. Yeah. Did you, like, to go back a little bit, like, did you have, when the quarantine first started, because everything was getting so like hoarded, everyone was hoarding everything in the beginning, did you have anxieties about buying things for your baby in the beginning? Or like, what your obstacles were?
Because they were taking the toilet paper like it was nobody's
and
business.
And diapers too, I heard, were like a hot commodity. Like, you could not get it.
I was lucky because I had a baby shower, and it was like a baby shower where people just gave me diapers.
Yeah.
I was really lucky because for the first like 2-3 months, I didn't need diapers.
Oh, that's
And, but.
Yeah, you had that sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a baby shower. That's amazing. You guys have a baby shower before this happened.
I know. My friend who has a 3-month baby, she didn't get to have her baby shower, which is sad, you know?
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying, we ran out of wipes and baby wipes, and we went to the store and no wipes. I mean, literally, people don't care about babies right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking these baby wipes for me, you know, mm-hmm. And I was really upset because I was like, there's actual babies who need wipes right now, guys.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? I mean, God forbid I have to wipe her with a cloth.
I know.
And wash it, you know? I mean, that's funny. Yeah. I could have done it, you know? Yeah. But it's just, especially because it's so new to me. This is the first baby's diaper that I've ever changed.
Oh, really? Not even babysitting and stuff?
I've never changed a diaper.
I've never changed a diaper before my own baby. In fact, I didn't even change her diaper the first month
of
her life.
I remember when you were talking at our launch party and you're like, I haven't changed her diaper, Romeo's, but I'm like,
no.
That's
and my mom's like, eventually you're going to have to change that diaper. Because Romeo's had a child, so he knows how to change a diaper. You can change the diaper, you know?
so funny.
But I love that. It's like, let me sleep. I carried this baby for 9 months. Let me get some rest before I jump into it. Like,
yes, and the breastfeeding the breastfeeding is no joke. Like, I almost gave up when I had started breastfeeding. I was like, I don't think this is for me. I don't think it's gonna work
because of what?
Like, it's raw as fuck, because right? Your nipple.
It's just like your breasts have been nothing but decoration since, you know, birth. And like, now all of a sudden there's a purpose, and the purpose is every 2 hours.
Oh.
And if she starts, like, say she starts drinking at 4 and she finishes at 4:50, you got to feed her again at 6. Not at 6:50.
Oh.
No, at 6. So it's like constant. And figuring out how to get her to latch it. I mean, ooh, that lactation counselor, thank God, came through, and and I figured it out, and it's the most beautiful thing now, and it's easy, but it was so difficult in the very beginning.
See, like, I always get on this soapbox of it, but I'm like, if men had babies, we would all know about this. We would know all about how this works. We would all appreciate how hard it is. We would have been hearing our whole lives what men do to feed the babies. Like, oh, this is how it works. You would have more time off. It's just like blows my mind every time.
I also think there'd be a lot more abortion clinics too. Because they would just get whatever they want.
But like I'm a woman, and you telling me that right now about how every 2 hours I think, okay, at 4, and then they're done at 5, so you wait till 7. That's 2 hours after she's finished. No, like basic stuff like that. I don't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like hilarious in a terror, in a like negative way. It's like hilarious. We don't know shit about our bodies and how that they, until our body like goes through the miracle of life, and then you learn the stuff. But like, well, I mean, like, honestly, I'm at like 30 years old. I realized there were like 4 phases to our menstrual cycle. I'm like, I'm 30 years old. And then no one ever told, I heard this on a podcast. Nobody ever told me this. And like, just the stuff that what are the other things like as a new mom? Because while you're pregnant, of course, all pregnant women, like, they're so focused on trying to prepare. Because I know you can never actually be prepared. But all you can do is like try to read and try to learn about all these things. And then it happens. And I just imagine you're literally like, you leave the hospital, like you literally get home. I remember my parents saying, they're like, you have all the craziness, you have the nurses around you, and then we put you in the car, and then we get you inside, and we're like,
now what?
What do we do with her? Like, what, do we just stare at her? Do we just set her down and stare at her? Like, what do we do?
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty much what you're going to do. You're going to just stare at her chest to make sure she's breathing. Yeah. I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I just stared at her. So even when I could sleep, which you can't sleep, you don't get any sleep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to feed her every 2 hours.
Yeah.
But you're staring at this baby. Like, it's crazy how much we do for a driver's license, but for a baby, bye. You know, go ahead. You can handle it.
It's like, there should be so much more like vetting for motherhood, owning a gun, and voting. It's just like, why would we have to go jump through hoops for
like, and driving, so many other things? Honest.
Yeah. I mean, driving, I guess, is important, but still, yeah. Like, as something as big as being a mother, like, I mean, I guess you can take classes, but nothing truly prepares you.
The situation is always going to be different. You hear horror stories.
Right.
And like, for my situation, my delivery was incredible. It was easy. I had no pain. It was amazing. I'm actually scared to have another baby.
That's what I was gonna say, because you can't even go
off. Not gonna be as easy, you know.
You can't even go off your own experience with your first child based on how your second child would behave, how the delivery would be. Maybe they're super, your first one's super calm, the second one's gonna be super fussy. Maybe this pandemic situation with the new baby would have been hell with a different personality type baby. You know?
Yeah.
You just can't know. What were some of the things that, like, when you, I mean, this is a little bit straying off of like the pandemic, but I'm just curious, like, when you got home, like, did you feel, when you get home with her and then you're like, wow, did you suddenly feel completely unprepared?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you have to understand, she was due February 3rd.
Yeah.
And she came early. January 8th.
Yeah.
So I actually went to a doctor's appointment. I was 9 months pregnant. Went to a doctor's appointment. Very simple doctor's appointment. Mm. Checks on me. He kind of jokingly says, maybe we'll induce you in a week. And I said, no, absolutely not. That's not even a funny joke. Like, give me my full month. Yeah. I could have been pregnant another 5 months. I loved it. Like, I was scared.
Yeah.
I was so fearful.
You loved
of having,
being pregnant?
I didn't love being pregnant, okay. But I was so,
okay,
I didn't mind being pregnant,
yeah, yeah.
But I was so scared of delivering this baby. Mm-hmm. I mean, terrified, you know, terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to the doctor's appointment and he joked around and I left, and I was getting monitored because I'm now 40, but I was 39 years old. So I'm high risk. Mm-hmm. I actually had a miscarriage the year before. So they had to monitor her, and her fluid was low, and they were monitoring her, and it was normal. Everything was fine. They moved me to another room. Everything's fine. I'm actually kind of irritated. I'm like looking at my watch, and like, you know, me and Romy are kind of like, we got things we got to do today. Like, we got to go, you know? Mm-hmm. And in walks the doctor. He's not even in the hospital. He's like across the street. Walks in and he says, so we're going to have this baby. You're not going anywhere.
Oh.
We're going to have this baby today. And I cried. I was devastated.
Yeah.
Why?
I didn't have a car seat.
Oh, my God.
I didn't have a bag with me. the house was a mess when we left.
Oh,
I
my
was,
God.
It's the craziest thing to walk in a house with a new person that's going to live there, you know?
Yeah.
But when you left, that wasn't the case. You
right,
know, most
yeah.
people have contractions and they know they're about to have this baby. You know, I had no idea when I went to my doctor's appointment.
Oh my God.
That 2 days later, I was going to be back with a baby in my arms. You know, I was not ready in any kind of way physically. I was emotionally, mentally so not ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they could have put me to sleep and woke me back up and handed me my baby, that's what I would have preferred. Like, I didn't want to, I was so scared. I was
yeah.
so terrified.
Yeah.
But it turned out amazing. And I was actually, I ended up getting induced.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic because I didn't have to worry about how am I going to get to the hospital and,
right.
you know, like counting my contractions. I didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It wasn't natural. Was it natural?
I gave birth
naturally, yeah.
But they had to induce me. So they had to basically, like, imagine you're a green banana, you know, they got to ripen you. So in order to ripen you, they got to put something inside of you and they have to put their whole hand inside of you. So this woman comes in and she goes, I have the long fingers.
Oh my
you
God,
know?
No.
I'm like, oh my gosh. But I got through it. I had an epidural. I got the epidural when I was like 1 centimeter.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little, you know, scaredy cat,
yeah.
but I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had her and it was incredible. Honestly, when I had her at Glendale Memorial mm-hmm. Hospital, and I had this one nurse, Christina, and she was fantastic. And she really taught me how to, like, breathe and how to, you know, because it's not like what you see in the movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, you know, pushing. It's not
right.
like that. Like, you have to take a deep breath and you have to, like, you know, like you're taking a dump. Like, that's the kind of pushing you got to take. You know, it's not like the
That's so weird
blowout.
To think.
It's crazy. And so I had the nurse there. I had Romeo there. And I had a student. A student had walked in.
Oh, God.
And my legs are in stirrups. Vagina is just out.
You don't give a fuck it at that point,
and,
I guess.
And the student's like, can I watch the birth? And I'm like, why not? You already
Looks
see all
like
the good.
You're here.
You know?
Might
just
as well
in
Instagram
here.
Live it.
Right. And it was such a peaceful, beautiful, you know, she worked with me. And then we got to 10 centimeters and they called the doctor because the doctor's not there for
yeah.
most of this. You know, the doctor comes in at the very end. When the head is like right there,
oh.
like they,
so it's
you
just
know,
a nurse up until that point. You said right,
it's the nurse
yeah.
up until that point. Yeah, the doctor doesn't come until you're ready to like push her out right that second. You know,
mm-hmm.
so beautiful, serene
nurse
environment.
Does all the hard work,
and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm at 10 centimeters. They call the doctor. In comes like 7 people, and there's well, mind you, she's also a month early, so it's like they have to make sure, like, you know,
yeah.
they have kind of extra people too.
Yeah,
but people setting up the tools, people setting up the baby station.
Yeah,
and the doctor comes in and he yells at the student, "Where's your gown and slippers?" You know, and the whole vibe just changes. It's like it gets really scary.
Yeah,
and real. You know, and and he comes over and he says, "Push!" You know, he's screaming,
oh
"Push!" And pushing down on my belly. And, you know, first thing you think of is you got to push. But I'd be like, no, I have to breathe in first and then I can push, you know. I had to remember what I had been
yeah.
doing
yeah,
this
yeah,
whole
yeah.
time. And, in you know, her head pops out and then her body pops out 2
oh,
pushes later.
My God.
And he kind of just like, I'm not going to say he threw the baby at me, but he kind of like aggressively placed the baby on
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And here's this like purple, white, flailing, screaming, you know, I almost don't even know like how to react. Like,
yeah.
I don't even grab her. It's
right.
like, I'm just in shock. It just happens. It happens so quick, you know,
yeah.
it's such an animalistic
yeah.
moment, you know? And then of course they take her and they clean her up and everything.
But. And you, wait, just to make sure is what you said this was a serene experience.
I'm saying that when, yeah, like before the doctor
like
got
chaos.
There, it was just such
okay.
a calm, beautiful environment. And what's weird is, you know, I didn't have anything, you know, normally you're prepared, like you have your little jukebox or something, mm-hmm. or, you know, you have your music set.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I want music for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I didn't have any of that stuff because I had just come from a doctor's appointment. Right. So it's like, I can't believe that it was such a peaceful experience. Mm-hmm. It was so peaceful because it was just those three and it was so easy. I mean, I hate to say it, but that epidural just was...
Shit was working.
I know people want to feel it. I know some women are about feeling that. I was not about that, and I give it to them for wanting to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel it, you know?
Yeah, same.
And I didn't feel it, you know?
That's so crazy.
It was an incredible experience. She was 5 pounds, 5 ounces.
Oh, and
she was a tiny, tiny little thing, but she was healthy. And now at 6 months, she's 18.5 pounds.
Ooh. Wow.
And that's all breast
milk.
That's,
I was saying, that's a lot of boob eating.
She's actually overweight for her.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like the size of a boy. Like an 8-month boy, baby.
Well, she knows that she has to stock up because we're on lockdown. You don't know.
Right. But maybe I'm feeding her too much. I don't know. But.
I'm curious, too, like, before we get into, like, SOS moments and stuff, like, what... Because there's a lot of, like, mom shaming that's always been around. It's just a thing. And now that you are one, and now that we're in a time where there's a lot of it, I think... I mean, I can't imagine if I was a mom already and hearing it, but, like...
A lot of opinions.
There's a lot of mommy shaming going around right now when it comes to, like, vaccinating and, like, especially with everything going on with, and you don't have to, like, go into everything you plan on doing, but just go into everything you plan on doing. I mean, like, do you approach, like, mom shaming and, like, how do you go about all these, like, intense opinions of, like, right and wrong?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it does kind of go into my SOS moment, too.
But, okay, perfect.
You can go there.
First of all, I believe that, me personally, I give her vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know enough about the stuff, and I do trust the medical industry to know what they're doing.
Right.
I did have somebody who was very, very aggressively telling me not to do vaccines. But
somebody you love that you are, or a stranger?
No, it wasn't. It was, I had went to somebody else's baby shower and it was their mother.
Oh.
And she was just slamming it down my throat. And I was like, whoa, okay, lady.
You know,
I was pregnant at the time and I was like, whoa, okay, you know. But one of the things I've learned is, like, every baby is different and you're... mommying is going to be different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What worked 20 years ago might not really work now.
Mm-hmm.
I take people's opinions and I hear them out, and then I kind of just judge off of how I feel, you know?
Yeah.
I take some of it and leave some of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's wrong. I think to mom shame. I really do. If you want to, you know, get an epidural. If you don't, you don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had somebody say to me when I got the epidural, you know, something about being paralyzed. Like, are you going to be paralyzed? And I said, what? I've already gotten the epidural in my back right now. And you want to tell me this? Like, you're not a good person to have around me right now.
Oh, my God.
You know, or talk to. But yeah, the mom shaming is terrible. And getting into the, you know, the SOS moment is I had so much doubt. I had so much doubt, especially because I had the miscarriage the year before.
Yeah.
I had so much doubt that my body could do what it needed to do.
Yeah.
I had doubt of that I was going to be able to deliver this baby, that I was going to have a healthy baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doubt kept coming. Like, even after I had the baby, I just had so much doubt about myself. Like, am I doing enough? Am I a good enough mother? You know, is she getting enough tummy time? Is she getting enough milk? You know, like, I you have all these people coming in, you know, you have my mom who's telling me she needs to be bathed every night right before sleep. And I have Romeo's mom telling me, you know, you need to dip your finger in everything you eat and let her taste it. And it's like, everybody has their idea of what a good mom looks like and what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it didn't, and I had so much doubt. I questioned it must have just happened not too long ago when she turned 6 months. I was like in the shower or something, and I thought to myself, I'm a fucking great mom. Like, the fact that I even ask these questions,
yep. Am
I good enough? Am I doing this enough? You know, the fact that I look up every little bump she has on Google, mm-hmm. You know, the fact that I take month to month pictures and put themes in it, and I write letters to her, and I make her father write letters to her to read when she's older.
I love
older.
That.
Oh, yeah. Adorable. I mean, the fact that I'm writing a children's book that's dedicated to her,
yeah.
You know, I feel like that makes me a great mother. Like, all you really need to be a great mother is to care. You just have to care, you know, and you can kind of pick and choose what you're going to do and how you're going to mother.
And your mom, like, didn't, she might have that advice now because she had a kid, but when she was a new mom, no mom knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
When they start.
Right. Exactly. And it's interesting because your baby looks at you like she's just your number one fan, mm-hmm. You know? Like, my baby literally makes me feel like I'm a triple threat, you know? Like, when I sing to her, I'm Beyonce. Like, I sing this song to her, Señorita.
Uh-huh.
I love it when you call me Señorita. She, like, lights up. I've actually played the real song for her, and she finds it mediocrely good, you know?
She's like, this cover sucks.
the other day she was saying shenay nay nay nay, and I said shenay nay nay nay, and she fell on her back laughing so hard. And here I am taking her joke, telling it back to her, and I'm just like the funniest thing in the world, you know. And breastfeeding her, she's like eyes rolled back in the back of her head, just in pure ecstasy, you know. Here's this person who just thinks you are everything, you know, just thinks you're phenomenal. Just the best, you know, you're the best mother to her. Mm-hmm. Think about your own mother. You think about, you couldn't have had a better mother or a better father. A lot of times you feel that way. That's how I feel, you know, no matter how much wrong they did. And I finally feel that way that my baby feels about me. You know, I finally have that confidence about myself, and nobody can tell me nothing, you know, they really can't. And I just wish that I could take this and feel this way about everything else in my life, you know?
Yeah.
But
it's so interesting because, like you said, they're not thinking on all these deep levels about every single thing. They know that they don't know. They trust that you will be there for them and you will take care of them. And you will, it was like humans, we're like one of the only mammals that's born completely helpless. Like giraffes, horses, they're like walking within a couple minutes of being born. Like humans are literally like, we just poop on ourselves. We can't feed ourselves. We can't walk. We can't get ourselves water. We can't do anything. And like, you're just so dependent, but like their instincts as a baby, like you're saying, it's like your instinct is to just smile and like go to, and trust that you will give these things to her. And it's just so beautiful because there's no, it's not like she's sitting there and be like, can I trust this lady? It's like, this is, it's like, okay, this is who provides me with these things. Like, this is who does that. And you just love it.
It's a beautiful thing because you see parents who really are not good parents, mm-hmm. who are not taking good care of their kids, and the love those kids still have for those parents.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful love that a child has for their parent, you know?
Yeah.
And like at the end of the day, you just want, I feel like what everybody wants, truly everybody, like when I watched the true crime shit that I love and everyone starts talking about their childhood, these like mass murderers who are like, at the end of the day, you want your parents to pay attention to what you're doing and to care about what you're doing and to be proud of you. And if you don't get it, you make your own decisions. But at the end of the day, like I'll literally write half a verse to a song and I'll tell my parents about it. And they're like, send it to us. And I'm like emailing it incomplete. Like, I don't send any incomplete stuff to anybody except my mom and dad. And I'm like, you know, however many you get as far into adulthood and it doesn't matter. It's like, I want to hear what my mom and dad think about what I just did. It's like,
right. Even as a grown adult, you're like, even as a grown adult, my mom can hurt my feelings.
And yeah.
Like, oh, hell yeah.
You know, my mom told me the other day, she's like, I'm actually surprised by how good of a mother you are. And I was like, I didn't know. I was kind of offended. Like, you thought I was not going to be a good mom? But that meant so much to me. And I'm like, wow, here I am. I'm 40. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, still means the world to me.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's you now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So not to get like crazy personal and put you on the spot, but like, how are your feelings about maybe having a second with everything going on right now and what you've experienced?
Yeah. Man, I mean, like I said, I'd be scared because the other one went so well.
Yeah.
I definitely am not thinking about it right away, but after having a baby, you do think, I mean, you're kind of like, wow, this is nice. I might want another baby, you know? Yeah. I definitely wouldn't be too soon.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how late women are having babies. Didn't like Halle Berry have a baby at 47 or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I still got a couple years.
Science is amazing.
I can think about it.
Yeah. I know.
So maybe it's a possibility, you know? She's so young. It's like, I definitely don't want one anytime really soon. Mm-hmm.
It's very refreshing to hear your outlook on all of this because it's very, it's interesting because it's optimistic without being blind. Like, you're not saying like, what do you mean? Everything's great. It's like, no, having these hard conversations, I'm aware of these things that are happening. But you're like, I like what you kept bringing up, keeping the peace in your own home. And like, you're just walking the line, it seems, of like addressing the realities of what's going on. You're not like shielding yourself or her from like the reality of things, but you're also keeping your head on straight with the optimistic side. It's funny, I tend to hear more people that don't have kids be cynical about the possibility of having them versus like new parents who you would think would be in the height of the terrifying, like, oh my god, and you're here just like, no, this is beautiful, this is great, this, like, it's very optimistic.
I think you have to be, because when it's just you can sit in your negative feelings, but you can't do that with a baby. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. You look at the baby who's just looking at you, she just stares at me. I mean, literally at 4 a.m. I sometimes look at her and she's just staring at me. And it's kind of freaky a little bit, but it's beautiful. It's just beautiful, you know? And you have to be that positivity. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, no matter what you're going through, how hard it is, it's like, you have to kind of put that to the side, mm-hmm. you know?
And it's also like, you have an amazing opportunity to raise a future leader, you know, like someone that's going to take on take on things and love herself and a kind person, like, because you can look at it like how I've been looking at it, being like, oh god, this world, like, do I even want to have a child in the world, you know, with everything going on. But also, like, you have an opportunity to raise somebody that can take on these things and
help make the world a better place. Yeah. Like, my goal is to, you know, I wrote this a long time ago. I wrote, I want to create somebody who's better than me. Mm-hmm. That's my goal.
Melanie,
you know?
2.0.
What?
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
I don't know if I've said this to you, I guess, in these words, but you've always struck me as, you have a very, very nurturing demeanor. And it's funny because it, like, you have so much sass and so much personality, and you'll like snap back at people and be like, but you're just like, and you're very strong, but like nurturing at the same time. And that's like this incredible combination that I feel like is just what motherhood should be. I just feel like it's who you are. As your friend, and like having known you for years, it's like this strength and this comfort at the same time, which is a weird dichotomy because you don't want to be too just a place of comfort where you're placating everything, and you don't want to be too hard and too strong and too cold. Mm-hmm. And you're just like this balance of like, you balance the two, and it's amazing. I think she's such a lucky girl. I think
this is
like a really natural calling to you in an exceptional way, like a way that it's not just, oh, all women are meant. I think you are specifically made for this.
Thank you. Wow. That means a lot.
Is Ryan around? Is she awake?
Yeah. Do you?
Yes. Screamed into the mic.
Oh my gosh. Hold on.
Bring the little
thing. My goodness. Hold on.
If you guys are watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you guys are watching, YouTube right now if you want to see this little face. She's about to make her debut. Is this?
And if you're not on YouTube, that's on you. Where have you been?
That's on you, boo.
YouTube, SOS with Molly and Alyssa. Now, hurry.
Plug all of
hurry.
Our shit.
Hurry, get on your phone. You got to see the baby. Hurry.
Instagram, at the SOS pod. Leave us a review. Rate us. Have you guys listened to SOS yet?
No, what's that? Wait, you're not you're not a saucer?
I see a diaper.
The cheeks, though. Let's
see, oh my God, she's like face. Very aware. Look at that expression. God, I just really feel people need to get on YouTube right now and watch.
Wait,
the rest
I'm getting
of this
a Romeo vibe.
I got a and nah, that's now, Melanie
listen,
right there.
I apologize brow, that she's though. Naked. It's hot in here. And to be honest, her father likes her naked for some reason.
Hey, there's so nothing cute. Wrong with a naked baby.
She does
baby.
Poop on a lot of stuff, so I get it. Here's my baby. Here's my Ryan.
Her little,
those cheeks. Mm-hmm. How do you not bite those cheeks off?
Do you hear that?
The growl. Ryan, the what growl. Was that?
That's the growl.
Oh, Ryan, what do you think about the year 2020 and, you know, COVID and, you know, what do you think about mask wearing? Personally,
what do you think? What do you think, honey?
Oh, I heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah. Well, I heard a little grunt. I know what that means.
I heard Black Lives Matter, and I heard wear your mask.
Right.
And I heard 2020 is a dumpster fire, but but not completely because I was born.
Right.
That's so funny.
2020 was a good year for you, huh?
I think babies are hilarious because I think what happens to us, we come out looking like our face looks a certain way. And then when we get old, we look like that again. So I feel like looking at her face right now, I'm like, this is what you're going to look like as an old woman also.
That is a high idea, Molly.
You know, when you see little kids and they're already bald and their faces and they're like... That's an old person
stuff.
That's
right here.
It's an old person's
right? Exactly.
Face.
I just watched that movie.
Oh yeah, it's an old person's face in a new person's body. Oh, she agrees. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to. I feel bad. I want you to have some Ryan time. So I thank you, Melanie, so much for taking time out of your busy and lovely motherhood to talk to us about it all. And
thank you.
We miss you so much.
I miss you guys. Thank you for having me talk about her and my experiences. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you. Well, since we haven't been able to meet her in person yet, so this is our first official meeting. But thank you so much. And I love you. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll be updating on Ryan's life. SOS pod as the years go by.
Again, thank you to Melanie for hanging out with us today, taking time out to share her stories. I mean, like I said in the interview, like I am someone that like is starting to consider what motherhood would look like for me. And like this world is like basically, for lack of a more ladylike term, closing my legs to it. Like I'm just like, no thanks. No.
Right.
No. You know, but I mean, she puts it really well, you know. It is there will be a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And you know, you will have an amazing opportunity to raise someone better than you, you know, to be a leader and make the world better. And I think that's important to have more strong people in the world. And if you're raising those people, what an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, conceptually, when people think about having children, it's like, oh, this is like, where's the light? The world is so dark. The world is so dark. And the way she's putting it is like, but your baby, your child is the light.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry. I mean, it was just a very optimistic point of view for especially for being in such a crazy time that we are right now. And but yeah, I really appreciated her perspective and her openness, honesty about her experience, because that's very personal. Like,
yeah, and
especially when it comes to how you want to mother in the future, conversations you're gonna have, like
It's overwhelming, and so many props to her and all the mommies out there that are dealing with this, because Jesus, like, it's already hard enough not having that responsibility, and I'm putting that onto your plate. Like, it's a mix with everything. It's a joy, but it's an obstacle, but you're doing it, and yeah, God, I can't even imagine.
But then the job, like, is permanent, because my mom's had to be there for some 2020 breakdowns of mine, and I'm a 31-year-old woman, so moms are still doing it.
Yep. So on that note, our charity nonprofit that we're shouting out today is called Baby to Baby. They provide children living in poverty ages 0 to 12 years old with diapers, clothing, and all the basic necessities that every child deserves. In the last 9 years, Baby to Baby has distributed over 100 million items to children in homeless shelters, domestic violence programs, foster care, hospitals, and underserved schools, as well as children who have lost everything in the wake of a disaster. Baby to Baby has been flooded with thousands of requests for formula, soaps, and diapers in the wake of COVID-19. So to donate and learn more, please visit babytobaby.org. I think that's a lot. It's important because of everything that's going on. Like, not every mother is gonna be privileged and have, you know, a support system or the money to buy all those things. So
yeah, and the name of it just makes me think that it's like a bunch of babies in a warehouse helping other babies. There's no adults involved. Okay, and on that note, I want to say, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Alyssa's still laughing at the SOS Pod, and subscribe, review us, rate us on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Google, and more. Hit up baby to baby,
just a baby with in a warehouse.
Yeah, just
with
baby
some
to baby
overalls.
Let's cut out the middle, man. We don't need the big people in here. Just straight baby to baby.
A baby putting in their, like, little, like, timeout card. You know, those old-timey, like...
Oh, my God. The time punch card.
Time punch.
That's hilarious. Just, like, a bunch of... What's that Alec Baldwin? He did the voice in that baby movie. It's like Boss Baby, Boss Baby. That's what I've pictured. It's just a world of babies. Baby to baby. Oh, God. Anyway. Yeah, well, yeah, please. Yeah, review us. Talk about how
clearly
cool we are.
We deserve it.
And here is to turning meltdowns into magic.